Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
So he was totally defenseless. He was excreting. He had taken his clothes off. He was naked, at least from here down. Next verse. And the men of David. You know, these caves, you know, we went to this place some years ago. Barbados. So one of the tour guides, they took us, they had all these caves that have all these stalagmites and all of that. So I have an idea of what they're talking about. You know, they're like they have chambers. So somebody can be here and another person can be here hiding and he will see you, but you won't see him. That's what happened. And the men of David said unto him, our bad boys, behold, the day of which the Lord said to thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. Again, that's why I've taken time to explain it graphically. Saul is easing himself. He's taking his clothes off, he's put it. David and the others are inside the inner part of the cave. Saul cannot see them. But they can see Saul. Then he sees Saul's cloth. So his guys tell him, "This is today you become king. We kill this guy and that's it. It's all over." You know. So David listens to them a little bit. You know. So he draws, Saul is still easing himself. He draws the dress, the skirt a little bit, then just cuts off just a little bit, then puts it back. Next verse. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. Give David a super clap offering. No, that's not a super one. What a level of spiritual sensitivity. He hadn't killed Saul. Watch this. He was being tempted to kill Saul, and the Holy Ghost rebuked him. Don't try it. So even though he didn't touch Saul, even touching Saul's skirt, God took it as something wrong. So his heart smote him. Because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Verse 6. And he said unto his men, give the Holy Ghost a super clap offering. You know, it was God. It was God. It was God that prompted David's heart. Because the heart was sensitive. Because he had been putting the word of God inside. So his heart was sensitive, you know. So it was God who made David see this and say, like I said, there is no Bible. There was no king before. There was no precedent for spiritual authority except Moses and Miriam and Aaron and Korah and Dathan and Abiram that rebelled against David. Sorry, Moses. So that could have been you know. That's the letter. The spirit of that thing was inside David's heart because David knew the word of God. So he said, the Lord forbid, I didn't hear you, that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him. Seeing, may God help us understand this, that he is the anointed of the Lord. At this time, Saul was backslidden. An evil spirit from the Lord was disturbing him. He was, you know, he had disgraced himself in front of Jonathan, in front of David. He's walking in envy and jealousy. Every reason to justify David to kill him was there. But through David's mouth, God still called him the anointed. The same thing is true today. We have a lot of people like Saul around. It is not your business to go and start abusing them. Especially publicly. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Yes, he may be backslidden. Yes, he may have an evil spirit from the Lord. Yes, he may be in rebellion. Yes, he may even be operating passive or active witchcraft. None of your business. To his own master, he stands and he falls. It is not in your place for you to go and start talking about this man of God, like me, to get on television now and talk about Mr. X and Mr. Y and this one did this. It's not my business. Now, there's a type I want to get here. You know, this is so important, what I'm about to bring out. It's an example of hidden manna. It's a spiritual truth. You know, David used his sword to cut the rope. That's still true today. The skirt is a type of our righteousness, our robe. When you use your mouth, the Bible says, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. When you use your mouth to criticize publicly your spiritual leaders, you are cutting the rope, the skirt of their robe. And if your heart does not smite you, your heart is not where it's supposed to be. Would he be justified? Yes, he was justified because everything he said was true. Saul was in a bad state. But the error or the sins of Saul, a great statement I'm about to make, will never justify the rebellion of David. I'm going to repeat it. The fact that Saul was doing something wrong would not have justified David to go into rebellion. God will never support rebellion, even when you think you are justified. Now, it's one of the greatest lessons we can learn from the life of David. Next verse. So David stayed, or he stopped, his servants with these words, and suffered them not, that he didn't allow them, to rise against Saul. And Saul rose up out of the cave. Saul was not even aware. And went on his way. Verse 8. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped. Oh, give him another clap offering. This David. No wonder why Jesus became the son of David. With his faith to what the earth and bowed himself. They say it in Yoruba, Odobale. In our language, that means he lay prostrate. You know, let me just say this on the side. That's one of the things that you see similarity between the Jews and the Yorubas. I believe that there's an anthropology, there's some link between us and the Jews. I don't understand it all, but I can see. You know, for example, Kabiesi means, you know, who can ask you? Nobody can ask you what you do. The Bible says so. It says, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say, what doest thou? So our Kabiesi for king in Yoruba is taken from the Bible. Give a lot of super clap offering. So he prostrates as an act of respect before Saul, the man who is trying to kill him. These were where David scored his highest marks in the destiny of his life. This is what you and I have to learn. Even though Saul did not deserve it. See, there are some things that are too big for your mouth. No matter what the man of God is doing, even if when they are wrong, says, "Hey, does that mean I shouldn't talk? Can't I express myself?" No, you can't. Shut your silly mouth. No, you can't. And if you do, you're going to get into trouble. And it can cost you your destiny. then what do? Pray. You see somebody, a man of God, do something wrong? Pray. And leave it in God's hand. It is not in your place for you to go about whispering and talking to everybody, cutting their robe, you know, cutting their righteousness with your tongue. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Verse 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Verse 10. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but my eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not. I want everybody to repeat this statement. I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. This generation knows nothing, very little about these things. And that's why most of them are missing road of destiny. I remember when I was a younger Christian, you know, we had all kinds of people. I've told him a story about Pa Elton. A lot of people began to criticize Pa Elton. Oh, he's old, he's in error. And Pa Elton was wrong in some areas. You know, he would say things like, oh, we're in the book of Revelation, when the seven trumpets. I knew that wasn't right. I knew that. But you see, you don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. I knew that myself, you know. But there were still some very important things Pa Elton was saying and was teaching us. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I didn't join them. I did not join them in criticizing Pa Elton. I just kept my mouth shut. And I would still go to Elisha to go and listen to Pa Elton. And when Pa Elton is talking, I'll be listening very carefully. I would take the one that I know is in line with the Bible. The one that I know is a little bit off, I just leave it. And I don't come back to Ibadan. I start telling people, I'm a dama yellow ojare, Pa Elton, you know. You know, don't mind that man. He's old. You know, God is no longer with him. Are you God? Was it you who anointed Pa Elton when he was in London that God told him to come here? Were you even born? Where were you when God called Pa Elton and sent him to Africa? That gives you a mouth to come and start saying, Pa is this and Pa is that. Who are you? We don't know anything. No. And I've 40 something years now, 30 to 40 something years, I've seen how many of their destinies have been derailed because of wrong attitude and wrong words towards a man of God. Yes, he wasn't perfect. But many things he said are come to pass and are still coming to pass. And he said more good things than he said bad things. Most of what he said was correct. There were just a few imperfections here and there. But that's true of all of us. Kenneth Hagin, that I so much respect and revere, faith man, he wasn't 100% right all the time. Because the faith people did some things that went to an extreme. But you don't throw away the baby with the bath water. And then go and say, Kenhagen, you know, Kenhagen is in error. Some of our people here said that. Remember, as a young Christian, this is 981. And some, you know, I think they repented later on. Say, Kenhagen is a false prophet. Because he started telling them about prosperity and all that kind of thing. I remember one of my friends, he came to preach here some time ago. Brother Olariwaju, Joseph Olariwaju, we used to call him, you know, Joe Boy. You know, he came to preach here some years ago. You know, you know, and I remember, you know, Joseph Olariwaju took one of Ken Hagin's books to the office of this particular ministry and said, ah, this is a very good book. They said, ah, no, don't bring that book out. He's a false prophet. And you know, Joe Olariwaju is from Old Kwara. I think he's Kogi now. He's like a Hagin far. Well, I can never forget. It's a laugh. It's something with all of us, me, Fred, and all of the guys. You know, we all used to laugh about. Eh? Kehegi, false prophet. Kehegi far. You want to call Ken Hagin prophet? Then who is a true prophet?
See, the fact that your fathers make one or two mistakes or say one or two things that are wrong does not give you the liberty. I'm going to close with the guy. I'm going to pick this day. This day, everything is so important. You know, I can't finish it today. You know, that gives you the liberty to begin to, you know, run your mouth roughshod. It would destroy your destiny. Thank you. One amen from Pastor Larry. But it's still amen. You say wrong things about the men of God that God put in authority, Lord's anointed, it will destroy your destiny. If you can't say amen, say oh me. And if he's oh me, go and repent fast on your face. And say, Lord, forgive me. How dare you? How dare you? Where were you when they were called? And they were anointed. You are still roaming in the wilderness of sin. And God used them to bring you in. And now you think you are big enough to start treading where angels fear to tread. Even Lucifer, Gabriel and Michael still treat him with respect because he was the Lord's anointed. He said, even the devil, when he was disputing with the angel with the body of Moses, he said, the Lord, he didn't rebuke him himself because he used to be his ogre. Be very careful. This generation knows nothing. Correct. Sorry, Lord. I correct that. No, very little about respect for authority. And it is destroying their destinies. But David was taught by God. I'm sure he read the story of Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Very interesting story. Moses marries a black woman. And Miriam is senior sister. Aaron is senior brother. This is our little brother. I'm going to start marrying black girl. Who does he think he is? Yes, I know God has used him and all that, but he's still my brother. And in this household, you are not going to marry any black girl. The Bible says, and they murmured against Moses. It's not written for decoration. It's written for our instruction. You know, God calls three of them. Says, Moses, Miriam, come to me in tabernacle. I like God. He does not discuss the black woman. The issue of the black woman does not come up. See, God does not deal with issues. He deals with attitudes. He didn't talk about the issue. He said, when I speak to a prophet, I speak to them like you and Miriam and Aaron. I speak to you in vision and dream. He said, but my servant Moses, he didn't say your junior brother Moses. Didn't most God know he was their junior brother? But my servant Moses said, not so. He said, for I speak to him face to face. Why then, Kasele Mengradas, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And Miriam instantly became a leper. Why is it written in the Bible? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't go there. Oh. Whether Moses was right or wrong was not the issue. The issue was their attitude. This same Moses was the one who begged, said, God, I'm going to say it in Yoruba, then I'll translate to English. Because the next thing we're going to hear in the camp is that, do you know that he put leprosy on his own sister? That's the talk that's going to go around. And it was not Moses that put the leprosy on Miriam. It was God. But everybody will say it's Moses. Come on, Somileno.
In other words, so they don't come and give me a bad name. So Moses said, Lord, please, I beg you, for my sake, heal her. You know what God said? He said, if her father has spit in her face, heavy language. God hates rebellion. He hates it. Heavy language. He said, if her father had spit in her face, would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her keep the leprosy for 7 days so she will never forget the lesson. And so it was. I just got another tweet. It's coming back to the church. We're going to see things like this in the end time. People will open their mouth against men of God. The men of God will not curse them. They will never do that. Moses didn't curse her. Moses didn't say a word. It is God who will do it. And the whole church will know that it is God. Then the whole church will begin to fear God. And they shall know that I am the Lord that tries the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every man according to his works. It's coming back. Because that's the only thing that's going to bring some sense into this tactless generation that does not respect their elders. Thank you, Bimbo. You picked that from Revelation. Now, yes, let's get back to this. We're going to close now. I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Backslidden or not backslidden? Witchcraft or no witchcraft? Javelin or no javelin? It's too big for your mouth. That is why the Bible says, oh man, I'm getting into my element. Honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say whether they are good or bad. That it may be well with you, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. That's why this man lived when Absalom rose against him. Because he did not raise himself against the Lord's anointed. Next verse, we're going to close. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, now know thou and see that there is no evil or transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. Next verse. The Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord avenge me of thee. But my hand. Stand to your feet, everybody. My hand. My hand. Be careful what you do with your hand. Be careful what you do with your mouth. Shall not be upon thee. We're going to pick it up my next lesson. This is not the only time he did. He did a second time, but I'm going to look at the second time again. Why is this thing recorded? So that generations later, like you and I, we understand the importance of humility, submission, and not go the way of rebellion. At the end of the day, it was God who avenged David. Saul met his demise. But it was not by David's hand. And that is the lesson we learn from the life of David. What a man sows, he will reap. He sowed mercy, he reaped mercy. And God turned the counsel of Ahithophel.
He showed mercy, he reaped mercy.
Had he shown the wrong thing,
go and write it down. A faithful saying that cannot, worthy of all acceptation, that cannot be gainsaid. Absalom would have killed him. Absalom would still have died, and God would have raised another king. So many destinies are being derailed today because people are saying the wrong thing with their mouth. Let's talk to God. I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. David's heart was not automatic. It became like this because he put the word of God in it. That's why we're going to look at this next time. His heart was sensitive when he was in the wilderness. And when he caught Saul's shirt, it smote him. But that same heart did not smite him when he looked at Bathsheba. Why? The sensitivity of the heart had gone down. And the word of God was no longer in the heart like it used to be. God corrected me many years ago, and I have stayed with that correction by the grace and the mercy of God. When I first got born again, first few months, I started praying Pauline prayer, spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, every day, praying tongues, 1 hour, you know, and I got a lot of revelation. Then I said, well, I've got a revelation now. So I stopped praying those prayers. True story. I didn't stop praying, but I stopped those particular prayers because I had gotten the revelation. Looking back now is a joke. What I thought I had gotten, it was so small compared to what I know now, you know. But it's all pride. It was in my heart. Yeah, you know. So I said, I need to move on to more advanced things, you know. You know. So I put that aside, and I started to just, you know, pray some my own manufactured prayers. You know, my own. You know, I was still praying in tongues, still reading my Bible. But I just noticed that the tap of revelation suddenly went dry. And the thing was not flowing like it used to flow. What I'm talking about took over some weeks, you know, maybe into a month or two. Then I think I was just seeking God. God told me, he said, who told you to stop praying those prayers? I said, God, I'm sorry. He said, go back. So I started praying those prayers again. Then I added what I teach you now. You know, give me more. Yes, I had. Give me more, you know, of the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the eyes of man's understanding, being further. And that's what I'm still doing till today, 40-something years later. Pride is intrinsic in all of our hearts. If you think you're not proud, you are proud. I'm going to repeat it. If you think you are not proud, you are proud. Because the sin nature is still inside the soul, the will, the mind, and the emotions, and intrinsically it has pride in it. Until you get rid of all the sin nature, you still remain, there's still an element of pride there. Number one. Number two, as you clean it out and you grow spiritually, even when you're not proud inside, it's still in the air. It will still come against you. And you need to push it out, scream it, daily! Not weekly. Oh. 1 week is too long. Too much of it would have accumulated. It's like not sweeping this floor for 1 week. It would be so dirty. Don't wash your heart for 2 or 3 days. Dirt would have accumulated there. That's why we all need to maintain a humble heart. It's not automatic. That's why I said, this king will read it every day, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, that his heart be not lifted up. If he doesn't, he will not fear God and his heart will be lifted up. I am the example. I've given you my example. After some time, start thinking you are something you are not. Start thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Especially when you begin to compare yourself with those among yourself. I came to Nigeria, you know, I was one of the few people at that time that had revelation knowledge. Everybody, I was the toast. Ah, that guy, I said, he speaks English with such fullness, you would think he's a white man talking. I'm telling you what my people used to say about me. When I go and preach in IVCU, say, ah! Only Oyibuwe's first class. Odeni revelation. That's what people used to say about me. So it got to my head. So I felt I didn't need Pauline prayer again. Can you imagine, Pastor G? Olorun na mi legba. Stupid boy. I repented and have never gone that way again. Don't go there.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.